Malcolm here, and welcome to the Sunday Sample, episode 14. That's where we're up to so far. We're looking back at our Sunday services on the 3rd of December 2017 and seeing what we can reflect on about how our corporate worship was in Watford and in Bracknell, where it was last Sunday. Now, I must admit, I'm recording this a week late. It's now the following Sunday, and things have been a bit busy with Christmas preparations and some family illness issues, which I might tell you about another time. Here we are, and Christmas is coming. If you don't believe me, I'm sitting at a service station here on the M25, and there are Christmas lights for you. So, Christmas is coming, and I'm looking forward to it. So let's talk about this last Sunday. What were we doing? Well, I was in both Watford and Bracknell, and I want to share with you, first of all, the outline of a devotional I shared with the worship teams in both places. I talked about the role of being a joiner. A joiner. That's what a worship leader is in so many ways, a joiner. So we reflected on Luke 2, very seasonal, verses 13 and 14. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Heaven and earth are joined together here by the angels. The praises of the angels links the praises of heaven with the praises of earth. What's going on in heaven, what's going on in the next life, in the next realm, in the heavenly realms, should be mirrored here on earth. And that's what we do. We help to mirror what's already going on in heaven. By the way, I hope you're not too distracted by the background noises here. I've had to stop at a service station, and Costa Coffee is just to my left. And they're doing a great job, but hopefully not too noisy. So we are the joiners. And how does it happen that we're the joiners? When we have a heavenly mindset, we're able to help join the congregation that we're leading together with the heavenly praises that are going on already. And that's why we gather. We gather as congregations to join in with the heavenly praise. And we as the worship leaders help join those two together. You and I are professional or amateur joiners. That's who we are. We're not trying to create something that doesn't exist already. It already exists in the heavenly realms. We're just trying to join what we're doing here with what's going on in eternity. Isn't that an incredible privilege and a great role to have? So, we thought about that and thought about what it would take for us to be effective at being joiners, joining the congregation on earth with the congregations in the heavenly realms. Then we prayed about that joining role. So think about that. I wonder what your thoughts are on that kind of role and what it means for us as worship leaders. Leave a comment. I'd be very interested to know what you think about that. So let's go on and talk about the speakers. In Watford, we had a visiting speaker, Ben Dannett, young man. Dr. Dannett came to speak for us, and that was wonderful. It was very inspirational for the parents there, thinking about their young children at the moment, one day going on to preach the Word of God. So Ben did a great job with that. Maybe think about the fact that we really need to be sure to allow our younger men and women to speak publicly, to be able to not only themselves use their gifts, but to inspire parents who are older than them and younger children who may hear them as well. So that was great. Love to hear him. And we had Stefan Wolmeren speaking down in Thames Valley, which is great. A good friend. And he did a super job talking about the crucifixion and different perspectives on that. So that was good. On the music side of things, in Watford, we learned a new song called "Lord, You Hear the Cry." And we learned this in Bracknell the previous week. We will be singing it sometime soon in Watford. But rather than speak about the song, I'd like to talk about our great worship leader team. I was really impressed with the fact that I sent out the lyrics and I sent out an MP3 so they could listen to the song and get to learn it before we actually did it. And when we came together, we had very limited rehearsal time. We came together, and as we went through the song, the worship team picked it up so quickly because they had used the MP3 I'd sent round. I was impressed with that they had done that. It also impressed upon me the fact that we can use technology to make the most of limited rehearsal time. And you may be like us, having limited rehearsal time. If so, then make the most of the technology available. Again, I'd like to ask, what technology do you use that helps you to be effective, both in leading worship, but also in preparing, perhaps in rehearsals or instead of rehearsals if you're not able to do much rehearsing? Do you use any technology? Let me know. Put a note wherever you see or hear this recording so that we can all learn from one another on that. So that was one thing we did. Also, keys for songs. Now, I rather like doing songs in the original key in which they were written wherever possible. I think that's the key the composer wrote the song in. It's often the best for that particular type of song. There's something about the feel of it, the vocal line and everything. But I must admit, we have a bit of a battle about keys from time to time because somebody says it's too high for these people, it's too low for these people. Usually the complaint is too high rather than too low. And I think it's okay to change keys of songs. Of course it is. But I must admit, being a bit of a stickler for keys, I prefer to keep it at the right, what I consider to be the right pitch. And what happened this last Sunday is we had two songs that were in a row that were of a high key. I mean, they were high for the singers to sing, and it was okay. I think one song was okay. What I learned is this: one song that's a bit high for people is okay, but two in a row is a no-go. By the time we finish the second song, not only are we straining our voices, but I'm straining the patience of the worship team and the congregation. So don't be shy of singing one song a bit higher than most people would prefer. It might actually sound better and come out better, but don't do two songs in a row at the wrong pitch. Well, the right pitch perhaps, but wrong on the occasion. Two songs in a row that are too high in pitch are definitely a killer. So don't do that. Other thoughts. Last week, my commitments were to teach the song Lord You Hear the Cry to the Watford Church, and that was done. My other commitment was to create enough time for a meaningful devotional for all the speakers and musicians in both locations, and we did that. That was excellent. This coming Sunday, I have two commitments for the 10th of December in Watford to deliver an interactive sermon on Luke 24 and to do it in 30 minutes or less. And in Lower Early, my commitment is, because we're singing carols, to a lot of them have lots of different verses, are quite long, to create variety in the carols so that they don't drag. So, you know, one verse men, one verse women, or some things like that to create the variety. So those are my commitments. So what are you doing locally? What's working for you? What's God teaching you? What is God showing you? What are you doing right? What are you not doing so right but learning from? Please let us know. Leave a comment wherever you hear or see this recording so that we can learn from one another, because we learn best when we learn in community. So I pray that between now and the next time we meet and talk, and or you listen and watch these videos and podcasts, the next time you gather with the saints, with your friends, with anybody to worship God, I pray that you have wonderful times of corporate worship. Take care and God bless.